are listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts. It's Thursday, May 26, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 185, a production of Galactic Netcast. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, Brad Ludwig, Anessa Moyens. Hello, you two.
Hello.
What's going on in the world of you guys?
Car trouble.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah.
Tell the tale.
Well, it's having issues with accelerating and... They initially thought that it might be the MAPS sensor. And when they were doing their diagnostics, the readings that it was giving them, they're like, oh, this can't be right. This must be broken. So they replaced it and it gave them the same reading. So they're like, oh, just kidding. It's not broken. And they did more of their diagnosticking. And it's totally a word. And they figured out that it's the catalytic converter.
Wah, wah, wah.
And for once, I'm actually kind of bummed that it wasn't a sensor because the sensor would have been cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like, well, it's the catalytic converter. They're like, we're pretty confident in that. But if there's like a clog or something in the exhaust system further on down, then it'll be even more money. So they gave me the best case scenario price and the worst case scenario price. And I said, okay, plus do an oil change, please.
You should ask them for another test to make sure it's not aliens.
Could be.
Aliens in your car.
Although everybody else's car seemed to be functioning fine on the highway, so I'm guessing probably not aliens.
Okay. All right.
If it was on a dark road and I was in the middle of nowhere, they'd be like, oh my gosh, aliens.
Well, maybe next time, and then we could include it in the show.
Here's hoping.
Okay, so thank you for listening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast where we talk about beings from
elsewhere. Car trouble.
Yes. That was car talk. That was the car talk segment.
That was car talk.
Yes. Of course, this is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and real life. So let's get the show on the road and talk a little news.
In the news...
And I believe I have Daryl Johnston to thank for this one.
Probably.
This was submitted in our Slack channel. And you can be a member of the Slack channel by giving us $1 a month through our Patreon account, Patreon campaign at patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. And you can contribute to the show that way if you want, either, both financially, and by contributing a story, like Daryl did. Scotland's first minister, I guess that's their way of saying prime minister, right? It seems that way.
I think so.
I don't know, because I've heard prime minister in British talking, so I don't know if that's just another way of saying it, or if it's some weird thing of being like a first cousin, so you get like the prime minister, and then you have like the first minister.
Maybe because they're not their own country, technically, right? They're part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why it's called First Minister and not Prime Minister.
That could be.
Daryl, we need your help.
he's middle management.
Quick. Turn on the Daryl the Daryl signal. Let's get a reading on this. Anyways, Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, plays herself in an alien invasion radio drama. This is so awesome. I love radio dramas, especially when there is a leader of a country involved. Author Val McDermid has written an adaptation of John Wyndham's 1953 novel, The Kraken Wakes, for BBC Radio 4. In this new audio version of the story, survivors take refuge in the Highlands, and Miss Sturgeon broadcasts instructions to them. So she plays herself. McDermid met the First Minister at last year's Edinburgh International Book Festival. In the original...
Edinburgh.
What's that?
I said Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
It's the brah. What's up, brah?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Okay. Edinburgh.
They don't say Edinburgh.
Okay. Edinburgh.
Is what I'm getting at.
How do you guys say Toronto?
Toronto?
It's actually Toronto. Like, it's not, you don't put the emphasis on the T. It's Toronto.
See, it's just like Marathon City. It's actually pronounced Meriton.
Yeah.
It's pronounced wrong.
All right.
Although, in Texas, Edinburgh is Edinburgh. It's got the hard G at the end.
We've had this discussion before. At least once before. I swear to God.
And today on Town Talk.
yay.
Okay, so in the original book, aliens end up melting the polar ice caps, and most of Britain becomes submerged. The part of the UK that's going to have most of it left is Scotland. So this updated version moved the action to Scotland and gave Miss Sturgeon a part calmly broadcasting instructions, carry on, stay calm and carry on, I guess, to the survivors of what is left of the UK. So sounds like in the original book that wasn't technically right, that if the ice caps were to melt, that most of that, the part that took place in the book, would be underwater and Scotland would be safe. That's what it sounds like to me.
Nice.
Episode 1 will broadcast on BBC Radio 4 on Saturday, May 28th. So if you have, I'm guessing we could probably access Radio 4 on TuneIn, most likely.
Was it? There's, I think, TuneIn, and then I want to say that there was another app that was like British Radio.
No, BBC has their own app, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but I'm saying like here in the States, does the BBC Radio app work here in the States? Because sometimes it's weird.
I seem to remember having that app when I was in the States.
But it might be TuneIn. I don't know. But yeah, I just remember listening to like BBC 4 radio or something, and okay. 3 and 1.
Okay, yeah, BBC Radio 4 is available on TuneIn.
So, going back to the whole First Minister thing.
Yes.
I think it was you, Dave, who mentioned that it was probably because Scotland isn't their own individual thing. They're part of the UK, and that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be interchangeable with Prime Minister.
Okay.
But nowadays the term is used to describe the leaders of devolved governments of Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
Okay, so it not to get confused with the Prime Minister of Great Britain, I'm guessing.
Right. Okay. Well, the UK, the United Kingdom.
Okay.
So.
All right, so I am definitely going to try to catch this live or record it somehow or catch, thinking that, I wonder if they're going to make that available via podcast.
Probably, because one of my picks was on, I forget which station it initially aired on. It was a play, but they also aired it on one of the British radio stations, and it eventually became available for download.
Okay.
I think maybe through Audible. But it was the town that ended up having like a force field around it.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't contact the outside world and vice versa, and the aliens were living amongst them, and
it was a sci-fi comedy.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sure that this is going to be available somewhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will be.
Okay, so we'll have more details on this story in the show notes. You can check out the link to where I got that story from. And, of course, when we post all of our podcasts, including the Alien Invasion, we post them on our social networks like Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And please do follow us on all those networks and more. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on Pinterest, although we don't really do much with that. Or the other one that we don't do much with is Instagram, but you can still follow us there. We have the links on our website, gncasts.com. Moving on to the second story. What do you got, Brad?
I have got a story from the Detroit CBS local .com. It's the local CBS affiliate in Detroit. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll just do this story. Chance of extraterrestrial life grows as new planets discovered, scientists say. Scientists believe more planets found mean it's more likely that we're not alone in the galaxy. NASA announced that the Kepler Space Telescope has validated nearly 1,300 previously unknown planets orbiting outside our solar system. Mike Narlock, head of astronomy at the Cranbrook Institute of Science, says the discovery brings to about 3,200 the number of known exoplanets in our galaxy, and is the largest collection of planets ever discovered. This development, he said, could eventually lead to the news that extraterrestrial life in fact exists. He's quoted as saying, "We now know that some of them are rocky planets like the Earth, and some of them, a smaller subset, are actually in the spot of the Goldilocks zone from their star, where it's not too hot and not too cold for there to be liquid water. So the chances of there being other life out there is growing as we continue to search." Now, 9 of the new planets found appear to orbit in the habitable zone of their stars. He was quoted as saying, does this mean there could be sci-fi movie-style aliens or human-like intelligent life? Narlock said, everything is on the table. He's quoted as saying, you never know. It might be more simple life forms, simple forms of life like bacteria, or less complex forms of life. It could be more complex. You just never know. And that's the beauty of science. We're constantly looking and constantly searching. We might keep looking and not find a thing, but if we don't keep looking, we'll never know. Now, I went to high school with Mike Narlock.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yep.
Is it the same one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Wild.
Yep. And he's involved with a couple of different, he just got the gig at Cranbrook a little while ago, and he still has his hand in another project. What is it? Space? Oh shoot, I can't remember the name of it now. Darn it. Anyways, but he's a very interesting guy, and knows what he's talking about. He got his degree in physics and astronomy. We were in the astronomy club together.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Throwback.
Yeah. I did everything I possibly could to not date girls. Got in the astronomy club, collected comic books. Oh, yeah.
Girls would have loved you in Denton.
Oh, boy. I'm sure. Just saying.
Nerdy Texas girls.
Well, I did not live in Texas, so. So there you go.
Interesting.
My buddy, my former high school friend. We're not that close anymore. We chit-chat on Facebook every once in a while, but... Yeah.
Where is he located now?
In Detroit.
Okay. All right. Cool. Anessa, did you have anybody that you went to high school with turn out to be famous?
Famous?
I mean, somebody of note.
Well, I mean, I know people that I went to high school with that, like, one of them, I forget what she does, but she works in D.C. and, like, invited another friend to the White House when... Has Mana already performed, or were they going? I don't remember. I've lost track. But her gig gets her into the White House.
Whoa, that's pretty awesome.
So, but I mean, I've got some musician friends that are pretty good, and actually maybe not so much in like mainstream music, but like with Spanish music and whatnot, they're with some of the larger names and stuff. So,
oh, neat. I can't think of anybody I went to high school with that became famous. My mother, Charles Schultz, went to her high school, but they weren't there at the same time.
Right. Because I don't know what everybody else is up to. Like, some have become teachers and whatnot, but yeah, those are the bigger, I guess. I don't know how else to put it.
Ryan Gosling went to my wife's high school.
There are a bunch of people that I went to high school with that were very successful. And then, of course, you have some that weren't nearly as successful. So
Ryan Gosling went to my wife's high school.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah.
Neat.
A friend of mine's playing at Summerfest this year.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? We've got one more story. But first, I wanted to interject with something real quick. We mentioned this briefly earlier. Want to go into a little bit more detail about our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. We have two things that we need to get paid for every month. They include our web hosting, which is where our website is, and our audio hosting. That's the service where we upload our audio to, where it comes from when you download our podcast. So those are two things that we have to get paid for every month. And without your help, you know, I don't know what could happen. What could happen, Brad? We could just go away one day, right?
that could happen, I guess. I don't want to think about that, though. That'd be terrible.
Do you want
happy thoughts?
Do you want that to happen? Then you should click patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. I'm going to put the fear of God in you guys.
You're going to instill fear.
No, seriously.
Here's my dollars.
Stop crying and donate.
Seriously, though, we could use your help. We're not asking for much. We're asking for $1 a month. And with that dollar, you get little perks. For example, like we mentioned earlier, you get access to our exclusive Slack channel for the patrons. And with that channel, you get to contribute stories. If you find something online that you'd like us to talk about on this podcast or our other podcasts, which are many and numerous, I guess many and numerous are the same thing, basically. Never mind.
Numerous, many.
You can go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. 25 cents a week. That's all we ask. And we appreciate your support of Galactic Netcasts on Patreon. Okay, Anessa, this sounds interesting. What did you bring this week?
Well, it's a shame we didn't find aliens before the internet was invaded. Thanks, Al Gore. So,
I can't wait to
hear
this.
I came across this interesting article, and it was on like technologyreview.com. And it's a little long, but I read through it, and I didn't really see anything that I wanted to dig out. So, to the point. One of humanity's most significant events will be the discovery of intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. Back in the 80s, a group of astronomers involved in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence became concerned about the way news of this first contact might spread around the world. Their worry was that the unplanned spread of information might be hugely damaging. Information could become distorted and people might panic, leading to widespread confusion and even violence. Sound familiar? Indeed, something like this occurred in the 1940s, following the famous War of the Worlds broadcast of a fictional news story describing Earth being invaded by Martians. In various places, the story was accepted at face value, and in Ecuador, the news triggered confusion and riots that led to the death of some 20 people. So in 1989, a team from the International Academy of Astronautics drew up a set of guidelines for releasing information about potential contact events. The guidelines have since been widely accepted by SETI researchers and other scientists likely to be involved in a contact announcement. But there is a problem. Since the guidelines were written, the way the news stories evolve and spread through society has changed dramatically. In the 1980s, 24-hour news channels were a novelty. Now they have been superseded by internet news sites and aggregators such as Reddit and Slashdot, and by online social media sites such as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, etc., etc. These communications channels not only help to spread news, but are also a factor in the way it can be distorted and changed. Consequently, the guidelines for announcing a contact event need to be urgently revised, say Duncan Forgan and Alexander Schultz at the University of St. Andrews in the UK. Today, they outline the new forces at work, how they might influence the way news about a first contact might spread, and how the researchers involved should be prepared. Openness is a key part of their recommendations, and I agree. Forgan and Schultz begin by saying that researchers must be prepared in advance to release news when and if it arrives. That means regularly assessing popular communication channels and being aware that they are likely to change over time. SETI scientists should gauge how the public consumes news at the beginning of the search, they say. Before detection, these researchers should publish detailed descriptions of the experimental setup and progress, as well as criteria for tentative and confirmed detections. All of this would be then available as background information when a detection occurs. Forgan and Schultz say this should include a detailed description of how the team will communicate with the public in the event of a signal detection. But they also recommend caution. The scientists involved in a detection are likely to come under intense media scrutiny. Forgan and Schultz say it is a good idea for all of those to all of those involved to review their online footprint in advance to protect their privacy and ensure their safety in the event that media hordes descend. Next, the pair address the question of what should happen if a tentative schedule or schedule signal is discovered. Again, their main focus is on openness. In the event of a tentative detection, SETI scientists should submit their findings for a peer-reviewed publication while simultaneously publishing their candidate signal and all accompanying data in full using suitably robust web and cloud-based servers, they say. Once this happens, there will be a huge focus on whether the detection is confirmed, and once again, openness is the best policy. If the detection cannot be confirmed, then the team must publish a statement clearly stating that the signal cannot be confirmed of the ETI origin, they recommend. But everything changes if the detection is confirmed. If that happens, Forgan and Schultz say the researchers involved must commit to the ongoing media conversation as long as humanly possible. That might seem easy to agree to now, but this will be a difficult job. The individuals responsible for the first contact are likely to quickly become among the most famous people on the planet. They may even become among the most famous in history. This will be a mixed blessing. Nevertheless, these issues are worth considering now, and the guidelines revised in a way that takes into account modern communication methods. The worst scenario is that news spreads in an unplanned way with little or no coordination among experts. So a little planning now could be hugely valuable in the future.
That's a very, very, very interesting story. And I was thinking...
I thought so, because I never really thought about it much, you know, like how much things have changed.
And now, well, okay, here's something I was thinking about while you're reading it. I thought, you know how you get on Facebook and you see the, like a story, you think, oh, this is BS. And then you look it up on like Snopes and you're like, oh yeah, this is totally false. There needs to be a way, and you may have mentioned it in the story and I may have missed it, like a confirmation of some kind, like this is a true story, this is actually going on.
Well, what they're saying, aside from really emphasizing being open about their information and what they get, is to, one, get that information to their peers so it can be peer-reviewed and confirmed, and two, is to put that same data that they've collected onto the internet on whatever site it may be, whether it's through SETI or perhaps it's through like university website or through NASA or something. And just make sure that they have servers that can handle the traffic. Because something like that would be huge. And their servers would be flooded and would probably end up crashing.
Mm-hmm. And then if people couldn't reach the website, then they'd start freaking out like, oh, it's a conspiracy. They took it down because...
Right. And all it ends up being is there were more people on the internet at one time than they expected. So anyway, they're saying is to, one, you know, like I said, get it to the other scientists, like, here, review our stuff. Is this legit or is this just maybe a fluke or something? So, and then the other one is to put the information out there for the public to see and clearly state that this is not confirmed. Like, this is what this is. And then once it's discovered it is confirmed or is not confirmed, to post the message out saying, nope, sorry, it was not a signal received from an extraterrestrial intelligence. Instead, it was such and such or something that we could not yet determine, but we're, you know, confident that what it isn't, you know? So they're saying to get the information out there and state whether or not it is legit, but they would also probably need to post it on a site that is legit. So a place that would be trusted, a place that, you know, like if you go to, I don't know, express.co.uk and you saw this and you didn't see it anywhere else, you'd probably be like, well, it might be a little fishy. But if you went to a respected journal, maybe even like Scientific American or like I mentioned, NASA or SETI's website or whatever.
Even like BuzzFeed has more legitimacy than express.uk.
And that's really interesting to say too. So, yeah. Because initially you just kind of like saw BuzzFeed as like, oh, look, another list.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they still are big into the lists, but now they actually have like, I don't know, like more legitimate stories and points, I think. So anyway, okay. But yeah, the big thing is just being open with the information because, and I think that's the other thing too, is if they try to hide it and be like, you've got something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, what are you hiding? Tell me. And if you put it out there, you're like, this is all I have. Take a look, decide for yourself.
And that's why it sounds
then
like
that
they're
kind of takes away the steam of the conspiracy theorists.
Yeah,
I think. And they're like, oh, well, check this out. But then you're still going to end up with people that maybe don't have access to the internet. And then it also kind of becomes a little bit of a telephone scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, scientists might have received a signal from and like aliens from outer space. And then, you know, like a couple of people later, like, oh, did you hear they received contact from aliens? And then like a few, you know, pass it down some more. And then suddenly like Aunt Irma's coming to dinner with her UFO boyfriend.
At least they're trying their hardest to do this the right way. At least they've got a plan, you know, at least they're doing their part. Let the rest of humanity blow it out of proportion. At least
they're like, well, we didn't say for sure. We didn't say what it means. We didn't say anything. We just said, look, this is what we have. It may or may not be a signal from extraterrestrial life. We're kind of waiting to see.
Just don't know.
But here's what we have. So, you know.
All right.
And the other thing, too, what might be kind of cool is you get a lot of citizen scientists, too. So maybe they're able to break the code or whatever and mm-hmm. figure out what it says. So
I'd love to get the listeners' thoughts on this. You can provide your feedback by emailing aliens, that's aliens, at gncasts.com or call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966. You can also comment on the video on YouTube or the actual blog post on our website. And let's move on.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
Okay, time for sightings, and this one actually comes from a listener of this podcast. I had one all set to go, and then I got an email from Tom Williams. He comes to us from Berlin.
Oh, nice.
He is a retired American living in Berlin, and he discovered our podcast through TuneIn Radio. We were talking about TuneIn earlier. Yes, we are on TuneIn as well. So he says, greetings from the other side of the planet. He's got an interesting story here. So it's definitely a sighting. In 1969, as I was in the last year of junior high school, three friends and I would arrive to school about a half hour early to hang out. One morning, one of my friends came running up to us and told us a story that he had just happened to his father the day before. His father was a pilot for TWA Airlines, which no longer exists, and his route was Europe, North America. His dad told him that on the flight from Europe to New York, a silver disc flew alongside his aircraft and followed them for several minutes. The passengers were able to take pictures. Pilots are required to report anything unusual and also near misses, which he did by radio. Upon landing at New York, he was directed to go not straight to the terminal, but taxi to a wayside tarmac. Some men entered the aircraft, confiscated the film from each camera of the passengers, and they were warned not to speak of the incident to anyone. Sounds interesting. Wow. That's an interesting story.
It is, and I'm laughing about the next line.
Oh, okay. Okay, before I say the next line, those sound a lot like Men in Black to me.
They do.
Yeah. My friend was very excited about this, and he had to tell someone. All the best, Tom Williams, your true MIB. Why MIB? Well, I'm from Mobile, Alabama, and I live in Berlin now, so I'm the How would you say that?
Mobilian in Berlin.
Mobilian in Berlin. So
nice.
Thank you, Tom. That was awesome. Thanks for contributing to the sighting segment with that. How awesome is that? I think that's the first. No, it's not the first time. We had a sighting from somebody from Chicago. Remember that guy?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is the second bona fide listener sighting.
Bona fide genuine.
How nervous would you be if you were the pilot of that plane and they were told, like, okay, don't go to where you're supposed to go. Go to the side tarmac because we want to board your plane.
We need to debrief you.
Yeah.
I would be kind of nervous.
I'd be creeped out.
I'd be like, okay.
I'd be sending a text to make sure somebody knew I was alive and something was happening. So
well, I mean,
happened,
you wouldn't be able to text anyone in 1969, yeah. But.
Oh, yeah, well, nowadays.
Nowadays you'd be able to. But no, like, I think at that point I'd be like, hey, control tower, we're going over here. If we're not back in 15.
Yeah. Send us a search party. Yeah. Cool. So if you guys listening, if you have a story like our friend Tom did, let us know. We gave the information out before, but we'll give it again. You can email it to aliens@gncasts.com, or you can leave it as a comment on our website or a comment in the video. And we appreciate all that feedback. I just remembered we had some feedback on our YouTube channel this week, but it was from an episode a long time ago, and I didn't get the reference. He was. Did you see that, Brad?
Yeah, it was from Like in My Life. I want a website or Twitter handle for more Mogay.
That sounds like something we'd be talking about.
I'm trying to remember. I'm pulling up the episode here. Oh, the name of the episode is 174, and it was Mogay Phone Home.
That's right. The self-named Mogay. Was it like the psychic alien or something? I forget.
I don't remember. And it wasn't that long ago. I've got the worst memory in the world.
Terrible. But no, it's like I just remember, like, you can call me Mogay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I remember is.
Well, appreciate the comment. Thanks for doing that. We may not
I'm pretty sure it was my story.
Yeah. We may not always remember what you're referencing to, but we appreciate the feedback nonetheless. Nonetheless,
we talk crap all the time, so it's hard to remember what exactly we said.
All right.
Now it's bugging me.
Okay. Well, you do that research, Vanessa. I'm going to talk about this for a second, then we'll move on to picks. For more on this podcast, including show notes, like the information that we may have talked about on that episode that references Mogay, info on subscription links and more, go to gncasts.com/aliens. That's gncasts.com/aliens. For the other shows on the Galactic Netcast Network, we have a whole bunch of them. Go to gncasts. That's gncasts.com. Did you find out?
That's right. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt, but it was Mogay who had sent Mufon a letter going, help, essentially.
Oh, yeah, that.
They were, like, stranded or something.
Yes, I do remember that now. Okay, cool.
So we're good now. I remember.
Okay. Okay, time for picks and warnings. These are alien-related things that we have that have entertained us, hopefully, within the last week or so. And looks like Inessa's first on the lineup.
I am. And I have.
I just read the title.
I came across this app that was made. It was like made for me. It's called Cataway. And you're this little UFO, your little flying saucer. And you go around and you abduct cats.
Awesome.
What?
It's a very simple premise. It takes a little practice to get the whole abducting kitty cats. But the more practice you get to pick up, like, larger cats. And they get to be really huge. So I don't know that this is necessarily Earth, because, I mean, they look huge. But It's a game that I would recommend if you're sitting in a waiting room and don't want to put a lot of thought into it. You don't have a whole lot of time. It's a pretty quick play. So I don't believe it was available for Android. I tried to find it. I didn't have any luck. It kept saying, do you mean Castaway? I'm like, no, for once. I actually typed the name in right. And so, like I said, it's available on iTunes. I think it might be a dollar, but it's entertaining and it's nice to just kill a few minutes abducting cute, adorable cats.
But why would you want to?
So you can have all the cats. Oh. So you can hug all the cats.
Yeah, you can play with them and
I want to hug all the cats.
Yeah.
And I'm sad because I can't.
I love that video.
Oh.
Okay.
So there's a video, if folks don't know. And I think it's maybe a spoof. I'm not entirely sure. But this lady makes a online dating video. And she's talking about what she likes. And she gets really emotional about cats because she loves cats. Oh, and she wants to hug all the cats.
Seen this. Yes.
And they ended up making it into a song. So they songified it.
Songified this.
I do remember that. That's a couple years ago that video got posted.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Probably more than a couple years because I think I saw it when I was still in Denton. Mm. So, but anyway, that's where that reference comes from.
All right. But Cats Away.
Cats Away.
Cool. Meow. All right. So forgot. Is it a pick or a warning?
I would give it a pick.
And how many flying saucers will you give Cats Away?
I would give it 3.
Only 3? Okay.
Yeah. 3, 3.5.
Well, it's not bad.
Like, it's not like the best game ever, but it's good to kill time.
Okay. All right.
And the cats are cute. So, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, with cats just by themselves, that's an automatic 2.5 stars.
Well, you know, there's a game on, it's not alien related, but it is cat related. It's like Niku Atsumi. And all you do is collect cats. That's the whole point of the game. You, like, put out food and toys and scratching posts. And then, like, cats come by to see you. And their image gets posted on, like, your little journal. And it talks about them. And it's adorable. So if you're a cat person, that game's for you.
I need to get that one. Since I can't have a cat yet.
Yeah, no, I would recommend it. And like, if you go back and check later, like, you'll see some cats laying there playing with their toys or eating, and then you'll go back later and then, like, they won't be there, but it'll say, hey, this cat was here. So, yeah.
All right, so mine's not nearly as cute as yours, but it's funny. It's from Britain. It's called The Aliens. It's a TV show. I think you would consider it a miniseries. In the States or in North America. I think in the UK, it's just a regular series.
Is it just one season?
So far, it's only one season. It's a British science fiction TV series set 40 years after aliens land in the Irish Sea and are reluctantly integrated into British society in the fictional city of Troy. Border guard Lewis Garvey, played by a guy that I've never heard of before, is caught up in the criminal underbelly of Troy as he learns that he himself is half alien. Spoiler alert. But it doesn't take long to get to that point, so that's not important. Lewis, a border guard manning the check. This is the actual episode that I watched. I've only watched one. I think we have 4 on the PVR, so I watched one. Lewis, a border guard manning the checkpoint of the alien ghetto known as Troy, has his life thrown into chaos after a chance meeting with Lily Hot, a webcam girl he's been lusting after. So he doesn't have much of a life, but the thing he is into is going to this webcam site, and he always picks this girl. And it turns out that not only is she not where she claims to be, which is some other like tropical place in the world, she's actually in the city, the alien city of Troy, and she's an alien. And she gets involved in a gang who is selling. There's something with the aliens' hair. See, they look like us. There's no distinguishing way of telling us apart between us and them. But the one thing they do have is their hair. If humans smoke it, it's a drug. And eventually, it's a drug that will actually kill you if you smoke enough of it.
Oh, wow.
This girl is involved in this gang who is selling hair to the humans across the border. And somehow, I think it's his sister and his sister's boyfriend, they end up in a bad deal with the same gang. So he ends up making a deal with them, like delivering their money that she owed them. And then it turns out that that webcam girl is part of this. It's interesting. And then he finds out that he's part alien. And then he works with one of the aliens who's really weird. Like they, one of the funny, early funny scenes is he's smelling, this alien guy is smelling Lewis for way too long. And he's like, yeah, it's an alien thing. And then in the preview, you see Lewis and this alien high-fiving, but the alien thinks you have to do it 5 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Lewis is like, no, that's not how it's done. So I'm looking forward to watching the rest of the episodes. I have 2 or 3 more on the PVR ready for my viewing. So I will report back later, tell you how the rest of the episodes are.
Cool.
So my pick is The Aliens. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars. I mean, Flying Saucers. Flying Saucers, sorry.
Huh.
All right, Brad, what do you got?
I have the movie that was on Netflix called Ejecta. And the basic premise of the film is a coronal mass ejection is set to hit the Earth. And an alien abductee known as Spider Nevi is contacted by a documentarian to talk about Spider's experience when he was abducted by aliens. And as they are doing this documentary, an alien craft is kind of disrupted by this coronal mass ejection energy. It's disrupted and it crashes, and wackiness ensues. Now, it's a mixture of found footage and, you know, multi-camera work. So at the points where they're filling in what happened, okay, Spider is basically captured by some government agency, and they want to know what happened when he made contact with this craft that crashed. And when they kind of flash back to fill in us, the viewer, as to what happened, it is done in the found footage, like the documentarian's footage is being played for us. It's interesting. It's definitely a B-ish movie. It's interesting in its approach. I do like it. And I enjoyed the ending. The ending is very fitting. I will leave it at that. And the threat that is given to this particular character is definitely handed out in spades. As to what this character gets as her, as their reward for their part in this whole fiasco. So,
rating time. Flying
I'm
saucers.
Torn. I'm very torn. There are parts of it that I really liked, and there are parts of it that kind of fell flat. So I would say I'd give it somewhere between 2.5 and 3 flying saucers.
Okay.
I would say that if you've got, it's like 1 hour and 45 minutes. You know, if you've got some time to kill and you're interested in seeing a movie that does a mixture of found footage and regular type movie, B movie feel to it, give it a shot. It's got a delightful twist to it that I didn't really expect to have happen. But as the ending starts to play out, you kind of get a feeling for where things are going to land, and there's delicious justice that is dispensed.
All right. So, that's a nice tease.
Yeah, give it a shot.
All right. In review, we had Ejecta, The Aliens, and Cats Away. We'll have the links to all of these picks in the show notes of the podcast so you can enjoy them as well. One more time, we'd love your feedback. Email aliens@gncasts.com or call the voicemail number Area code 805-328-3966. You can subscribe to this podcast and the other Galactic Netcast shows by going to gncasts.com/subscribe. That's gncasts.com/subscribe, or search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. That's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion, a production of Galactic Netcast. Thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, Brad.
I can't wait to see the rest of the season finale of The Flash.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that pre-show. You'd only seen part of it.
Yes.
But you also commented on the last episode, second to last episode, which was the last episode of, well, no, as of this recording, the last episode of Legends of Tomorrow is airing. But the penultimate? Yes, that word. Episode and the big reveal at the end of that one, which was kind of interesting.
It was very interesting, and I am very much looking forward to. I did get a kind of a spoiler into the ending of The Flash, and I have a feeling that that's going to dovetail into some other things.
Yeah, a lot of things. And you know what? I got a feeling that we're going to be talking about this on a future episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club podcast. So why don't you make sure that you subscribe to that so you won't miss that talk if you're interested in all things DC TV related.
Yes.
Okay, Anessa, what's your final thought?
This is probably the first time that I'm really disappointed that it wasn't a sensor that I needed to replace in my car, because that would have been the cheaper route to go.
Yeah. Oh, well. Cars, what are you going to do? You know?
Fix them and drive them.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.